Hello, and welcome to Healthy Operands on WERU Community Radio. I'm Rhonda Feynman, and today we're exploring the Feldenkrais Method. The Feldenkrais Method of Somatic Education uses gentle movement and directed attention, and we'll learn what that means, to help people learn new and more effective ways of moving and living. To guide us through this process, we have with us our guest, Deborah Darr, dancer, physical therapist, Feldenkrais instructor and practitioner, and NEA dance instructor. Deborah Darr, performer and dancer on Broadway and on television, and at the height of her career, she experienced a serious life-changing event. She suffered a severe leg injury from a terrible motorcycle accident, after which she needed multiple reconstructive surgeries and many hours of rehabilitation, which ultimately put her on her path towards self-healing and helping others heal. After recuperating, she went back to school, became a massage therapist, and then a physical therapist, and she went on to complete the four-year certification program in Feldenkrais technique, and afterwards returned to her first love and passion, dance, and she received her blue belt certification in NIA NEA dance. Deborah Darr is currently in private practice, primarily using Feldenkrais and massage therapy and manual techniques to help clients with chronic pain. She continues teaching weekly Feldenkrais and creative movement classes for chronic pain at the Chronic Pain Program at the Rehab Institute of Chicago, and she teaches NEA dance classes and Feldenkrais classes online through Zoom. So welcome, welcome. Your road to recovery is so interesting and informative, and you've talked about how Feldenkrais changed everything for you. Maybe we could start there, and you can tell a bit of your experience, and then we can, everybody will want to know exactly what Feldenkrais is.
Okay, well, thank you. I'm really excited to do this. This is a lovely opportunity. I love to spread the word about Feldenkrais. So you mentioned maybe start from, you know, the accident that I had. Beforehand, I'd been, you know, performing a lot and dancing, and then this motorcycle accident. I had three surgeries to pull my leg back together again, and did what was what I call power kind of physical therapy, where you know when you have the injury, and then after the surgeries, you do all this strength training, which is like very linear. You know, it's like, and it's important to keep muscles very strong. But at some point in my recovery, which took over 3 years, actually, because it was three different surgeries, I felt like I was not in my body the way I used to be. I could walk, I could do things, but there was something that was off about what I intuitively understood about movement, but hadn't kind of put it together. What am I missing? And then I was introduced to, well, I can go down so many lanes here, you know, because I became a physical therapist after that injury. I went back to school because I had to. I was told I would never, ever dance again. And so I'd better get a career. And so I, in my mid-40s, I went back to school to become a physical therapist. And I moved to Chicago and started my career there. And one of my patients, actually, my first patients at the Rehab Institute of Chicago, one day said, you know, you need to come to this class that I've been taking with this wonderful woman named Julie Segura in Chicago. And she literally, I took her wheelchair, took her to the class. I sat in a chair, did this Feldenkrais class. And I had my neck was so stiff. It was like I could barely move my neck because I was so tense about this new job that I had. You know, it was my first time I was working as a PT. And by the end of this sitting Feldenkrais lesson, my neck was moving with no pain. It had its full range of motion. But more than that, I felt like I was back in my body again, in a way that I hadn't been before. Since the accident. And I thought, whoa, there is something here. And Julie Segura and I became good friends. And she told me that there was a training going on that was up in Evanston, that's north of Chicago. It had already started, but they were having a remake, you know, a catch-up class in about a month or two, and that I should take the training. And somehow or other, because it was pretty expensive, actually, somehow or other, I got the money together. I ended up taking that plus the rest of the training. It's a 4-year training, as you mentioned. And it completely changed the trajectory of, first of all, my body's way, or brought me back to my body's way. That's what I'm going to say. It's not like something new. It was like something inside me was refound in the Feldenkrais work, because it's really, I believe, that it really is in us all, but we need, it's the process is to let that be. That's what's so wonderful about Feldenkrais. It's not hard. It is the easier you do it, the more you get. But where it really changed the trajectory of my life was as a physical therapist. What I learned was, this is what I want to do as a physical therapist. I'd learned all the school training, all the things they teach you in PT school, and all the exercise, all that stuff. It's all good, but the essence of what Feldenkrais is what I learned I wanted to teach. And I will tell you, almost every single day, I like throw a little thing up into the universe or whatever, saying, thank you, Feldenkrais, for your method and how you have allowed me to have this life.
So you're talking about wanting to teach. Let's back up a little.
Sure.
Because, well, a lot of our listeners, and you experience this every day in your practice, people are coming back from injuries, or people have pain. And a lot of times there's a lot of feeling hopeless or feeling helpless. And there's the sense, well, this is it forever. And having a model of how we can self-heal, or how we can learn their techniques from now, when you said Feldenkrais, it was a person, right?
Moshe. Yes, it was Moshe Feldenkrais.
Moshe, who created and understood biomechanics, I understand. So we, but the point is that we can also teach people that they have more inside themselves, more ability to work with what's happened or what is. And perhaps we can backtrack and learn a little bit more about what Feldenkrais is.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you for kind of saying it that way. First of all, let me just start by very brief thing about Feldenkrais himself. It's Moshe Feldenkrais. He was an incredibly brilliant man. He had a doctorate in physics and engineering. So he was very, very smart. He developed this whole process, what is now called the Feldenkrais method, for his own body, because he had been told that he would not walk. He had hurt himself during the war. He was told his knees were so bad, they said, you need to be in a wheelchair the rest of your life. He got on the ground, started exploring movement from his knowledge of engineering, from his knowledge of physics, and most importantly, at least in my book, is he observed infants, he observed babies, and how their movement developed. There is a very predictable pattern of movement that happens with babies. Our neurological development, you know, the first thing is sucking, then you're looking, then you're grasping, then you're reaching, then you're rolling your head, then you're reaching for something in the world, and you're turning, you're learning to do this. So those are all incorporated into Feldenkrais lessons. So often in a class, when I teach, I like to maybe give the image for people of, like, imagine you're a baby. Imagine you're a baby moving, and how that changes how you are literally using your muscles, and how you are changing the almost emotional kind of makeup of, like, oh, I have to do this perfectly. She's asking me to do this movement. I need to do it perfectly. A baby wouldn't do that. They just, oh, I want to go here, you know. And there is this shift of tension, if you will, in the body. Anyway, that's my kind of way of describing, kind of even breathing, you know, how little we breathe, I think. That babies breathe with their belt. Yes, it's a fullness. They breathe in their bellies. It's not about having to be hard and strong to be able to, I mean, for instance, being able to engage your abdominal muscles, you know, to pull them up, you know, tight, whatever, is a good thing to be able to do. But if that's all you can do, it is cutting you off from so much of the beauty of your own being, not just in movement. It's like it's Feldenkrais for me is almost an emotional experience, or it can be. It can be. Well, I'm just going to go.
Yeah, interesting, because I'm looking at a quote from Moshe Feldenkrais, and he says, "We move according to our perceived self-image." Right. We can talk about that. He says, by expanding your perception and increasing awareness, you will become more aware of your habits and tensions and develop new ways of moving. And that actually assists you in living your life more fully and comfortably.
Absolutely. You know, and I'm going to give a little example, actually, of one of the patients that I was working with. I think this illustrates that point of, like, you know, you learn about yourself. The essence of Feldenkrais is about how we learn. It's through the movement of the body, but that's exactly that you are learning deeply about the essence of how you, as he says, perceive yourself. So there was one patient I remember, really lovely woman. She was some high mucky muck executive of some big corporation or something like that. And she had terrible back pain. Because of the pain, all of her movements were very restricted. So I think in the fourth or fifth one-on-one session that I had with her, I taught her this lesson that I lovingly call the rolling happy lesson. And you kind of go from one, you're on one side, and you kind of open your arm and your leg out, you roll onto your back, and then you end up rolling. At the end of the lesson, you're rolling side to side. And she went through this lesson very in her little stiff way to begin with. And then through the lesson, it began to become a little bit easier, a little bit easier, a little bit easier. And then I said, okay, now just roll any old way you like. Imagine you're a baby and you're just rolling from side to side. And she started just rolling, and she started laughing and just laughing. And I started laughing with her. And then she came to the kind of stillness on her back, and she burst into tears. And she said, oh my God, I really understand how I move through the world. That I, you know, because I also was cueing her, be loosey-goosey. I think something about that term or something got to her. But it made her cry. She said, I realize how I approach everything with this perfection, this sense of doing it perfectly, being in control, whatever. And she just wept in relief. You know that when you just went out of joy, sometimes you just go, oh, when you have that deep realization. I loved that moment. It happened to me when I was in the training for Feldenkrais. So I had the same experience in a class where it was a sitting up lesson, and I have this knee that won't bend all the way. And I was doing it like the dancer, you know, the perfect dancer that I was, whatever. And the instructor came over and just gently put a pillow under my right knee, which is the knee that was injured. And I felt just this relaxation of my body, because I had this gentle help, right? And I started crying, because it was like this realization of, this is how I treat myself. It wasn't the position, it was how I was approaching it. And it expands into everything you do in your life. That's why anyway, I love the Feldenkrais.
If you're just joining us, well, I want to learn more about this. If you are just joining us, I'm Rhonda Fineman, and this is the Healthy Options Program on WERU Community Radio. Our guest today is Deborah Darr, Feldenkrais instructor and enthusiast, okay, and a physical therapist, and definitely a dancer. Yes, you were told you would never dance again, but you do dance again.
I did. I do. Yes, I do. I teach Mia classes 3 times a week.
Yes. So I'm wondering now if our listeners, after that amazing understanding, I'm just so struck by the sense of that gentleness. Deborah, here, let me put a pillow under your knee. You know, it's sort of like, you know, honey, it's sort of like, you know, I'm like, oh, sweetie, here, have a little pillow. And
exactly.
What do we talk about? You know, how that resonates through the body isn't that what we talk about? Well, a lot of times, you know, we talk about being kind. We talk about that gentleness. And here we are with an injury or with that individual person, your client with back pain. And how many of us can relate to that who are listening right now? Some chronic illness, some diagnosis that we're living with. So there's gentleness inside, but tell us more about how these guided, or perhaps we can even experience what you're talking about when you talk about a lesson and how we can learn to listen to what.
To listen.
What is it that potential that's really inside us, and we've learned ways to move in the world that affects our body and our minds?
I think I'm going to, you know, sort of answer, you know, what, or continue this idea by also, because I love just examples, you know, the patients that I work with, and we will do a lesson everybody can experience it, just a little bit of it.
Sure.
But I work with the chronic pain program at the Rehab Institute of Chicago, which is now called the Shirley Ryan Ability Lab. And so I teach 4 times a week there to the patients in the chronic pain program. So these are people who are coming in, they've had everything done, you know, all the surgeries, all the medications, everything, and they're still in chronic pain, and they come to learn how to live with it. One of the things that they do is they take my classes. And often, I will say more often than not, and now let me have a little caveat here, is that Feldenkrais doesn't speak to everyone, right? Now, there is no magic bullet, right? There's no whatever. But those that it does speak to, it really is a kind of a life-changing experience. And the experience comes from this experience of truly being asked, invited to let go, to move from a place of complete and utter ease, not from pushing, not from proving anything, not from being the good student, not from being the best person in the room, not from I am going to follow the instructions of the instructor, but coming from yourself. And that sounds so easy, and it is not. You know, it's not for many of us adults who, you know, had life happen.
Striving, you know, or striving.
Striving, that's the word I was, striving. Yes.
Accomplishing, being.
Exactly, all of that. And what that does to the nervous system, what that does to our brains, which affects our body. So many times, the patients from the chronic pain program come in with, you know, I ask them what's their pain level at the beginning of the lesson, and let's say it's a 7 or an 8. Many of their pain level will go down to a 2 or a 0, meaning none, right? And they'll go, oh my gosh, I didn't do much. I didn't do much. I hardly did anything. I even fell asleep, they'll say. I put people to sleep all the time.
You know, it's
but
a compliment.
That's the level. I know exactly. If, and I tell them, if they say, I feel like I zoned out or I fell asleep, I said, good. It means that your nervous system felt so safe, it could go there. And isn't that a wonderful feeling? And then I also say, did anyone touch you? Did anyone manipulate you? Did anyone say you're doing that wrong? Not. And they say, oh, I say, I want to point out to them, said, you did this. You were able through this lesson. That's why I say, thank you, Feldenkrais, by just simply kind of in your own gentle little way, follow my suggested movements. And you did it. You can bring your whole system to this place again. You did it now. You can do it. It's available. It's possible. Have these moments for many of them, like it's just kind of a moment, and then, you know, they'll get up and some of the pain will come back. But this thing, what of there's hope. No matter what your injury is, I have worked with people who are quadriplegic, who have done these lessons, and it has helped. It doesn't cure, you know, everything, but it is this, particularly people who are just desperately looking for a less painful life. They have these tools to use that they learn in this pain program. But Feldenkrais is one of those tools. And it's just, I can't tell you what, it's the greatest joy of my life, really, when someone comes out of a Feldenkrais lesson and said, I just feel better. Mm. You know, because that's how I experienced it, you know?
Yeah, you know what?
It's a personal thing. Right?
Yeah. I'm struck by your saying wanting to live a less painful life. And mm-hmm. I had that image of, we all want to live a less painful yes. life, even if we're not perhaps
perceiving that you're in pain. Right.
That's yeah. right. There right. you go. Perceiving that we're in pain. So it's really, that's quite profound to live a less painful life. Let's let mm-hmm. that sink in, everybody. Just take a breath. Ah. Yes. And the breath part of that Feldenkrais mm-hmm. as well, is that, you mentioned that it comes into.
Oh, yes. It comes into very, yeah. It, and I particularly, I like to focus, when we begin a lesson, I focus a lot on the breath. You know, isn't it interesting how some of the simplest things, the basic simplest things in our life, which is our breath, it begins there, that we often have no awareness of the fact that you are breathing, first of all. And that's, I always start lessons, my lessons anyway, start with the focusing on the breath and having people actually become aware that you're breathing. It starts there, become aware of it. And what is it like? You don't have to do any fancy breathing. It's just, where do you move from? Does the belly move? This is where also the, you know, the image of being a baby can come in. Babies just let their bellies hang out there, right? I'm not saying you should walk around the world with this, you know, like just there, but the ability to move, to allow the breath to fill your body, and there are lots of media, of ways of doing your yoga things that you can do with breathing.
Pranayama.
Yeah, exactly.
Meditation. But
exactly, all of that. But from Feldenkrais, it begins with how are you breathing? And throughout the lesson, if I'm doing my job, is I'll be asking the question, as you are doing the movement that I've suggested you do, do you do it and breathe, or do you hold your breath? And it's not like I'm telling you to do it or not do it. Just notice. These lessons, I should say, are called awareness through movement. There is no better description of what this is. It's awareness through movement, ATMs.
Yep.
Not to be confused with your bank, but anyway.
There you go. If you have just joined, this is the Healthy Options program right here on WERU. I'm Rhonda Fineman, and we're speaking with physical therapist, Feldenkrais practitioner, and dancer, Deborah Darr, about the benefits of the Feldenkrais awareness through movement technique.
Yes.
So you said something after the lesson. Do people go home with, is there homework, or is there, it's not in, you know, not in the sense of getting an A, but,
right.
but perhaps in the sense of an awareness practice so easy, isn't it so easy to go back to our old habits?
And yes, it is easy to go back to our old habits, but hopefully as you do more Feldenkrais lessons, as you move about your day, little moments just go, look how I'm moving, or am I moving from my hip or what, you know, you begin to become more aware. And it's kind of this wonderful, I call it like little Feldenkrais games that you play with yourself. And I'll go back to just, again, example, the chronic pain program. People are all asking me, well, is there a handout for this? Is there, what can I do as homework, as you said? And no, there's not. And the reason there isn't is because you want to be in the experience of it, not the reading. And he actually wrote some books, the pictures there. But when you're doing a lesson, you want to be in the experience. So what I tell people is just be in the experience. Be in this experience of doing this particular lesson. Do a few more of those lessons. If you want to continue this, I will help you find a way for you to do this. If there is something in this particular lesson that you just took that you said you loved so much, if there's something that you organically remember, then go ahead and play with it. But be sure you are playing with it, not trying to make it perfect or better. It will get, in our, quotes, better if you allow yourself to continue doing that thing that you might, I have this bird wing thing that I do a lot in lessons.
That
if you remember
that you're doing it, a movement, we're on radio,
yes.
So we're doing this movement of opening your arm.
Right, yeah. Right. It's opening,
shoulder.
Opening your arm. Yeah. And just letting your arm float up. I like call it a wing, your arm is the bird's wing. If you remember that movement from a lesson, then go ahead and play with that. If that gives you pleasure, a Feldenkrais lesson, one of the cueing things for in Feldenkrais, not just in my classes, but all of them, is seek pleasure, seek ease, not all the other pushing and I'm going to touch my arm all the way back to the back. It's not about that. And got to mention this, no pain. Do not do a movement if it even begins to bring pain. Even if it's, don't try to push through it. You've done enough of that in your life. Why don't you have the experience of doing a movement just to where you can feel it with ease and comfort, and then see what magic might happen out of that? Because your brain, and this is something that Feldenkrais talks about, your brain wants you to be happy. Your brain wants you to be healthy. Your brain wants you to have ease and comfort and joy of moving. Your brain really isn't there to beat you down, except that's where all this stuff comes in about what our experience, our image of ourself. And that's where that, as you start to, at least for me, when I started to do Feldenkrais, learning more and more about myself and how I treated myself, and starting to believe my healthy brain wants comfort, ease, joy, availability. When you're available, then you can actually give and be, you know, be productive in the world and help people, right? And
Well, we certainly could go down the path of what consciousness is, but I mean, yeah. It's all right, Billy. What's wanting anyway? But
yes, right now, right.
But I think that image though of ease and joy and comfort and pleasure versus what? Fear, striving.
Fear, striving.
Yeah.
Right.
And so wish that kind
being,
of-
being inadequate. I'm not enough.
Yes.
I'm not enough. That's a message I think a lot of us have.
Is that a cultural Western thought? I think it is reading, I think through the Dalai Lama and other practitioners, Buddhist, talking about never hearing, you know, having to learn that Western practitioners are coming to this sense of inadequacy. And that was a surprise. So how culturally based is this? Not to say that this work would not be available and important all in every culture.
All over the world. Yeah.
However, I was always struck by that sense of it, this being a Western malady, or as it were.
I believe it is. In many ways, I think we try to do too much. And if we're not doing enough, then we're inadequate. And I mean, that's, you know, the story of, you know, sitting with just a simple position, like I'm going to sit, you know, and it was hurting. And I said, I don't care if it hurts. I'm doing, you know, I need to do this. Right. It gets in our way. One of the hardest things in teaching lessons I have discovered, particularly when it's live, when I'm doing it with the patients, is to find ways to truly express to people where they really believe it, that I'm asking them to do less, and how they'll say, oh, I'm so sorry, I fell asleep, or I spaced out. And I said, you know, I mean, I mentioned it before, that how good that is, how good that you can be in a space for at least a moment where you are enough. You are absolutely enough. A tiny little movement is enough, because you're still learning from that. Actually, more than if you are pushing and shoving and not letting it sink into the body and sink into your understanding of yourself. And I emphasize it a lot because I know that in myself, you know. I do Feldenkrais. I vicariously get a lot from teaching, because I know I need this a lot too. I need this reminder all the time. You know, it's you are enough.
And it's, well, yeah, but this also, there's that sense of I'll never get anywhere. I will not be a success if I don't push, strive, be the, I'm in this class, but I'm going to be the best Feldenkrais. Feldenkrais class person. I'm going to get the A plus. I am like the best. I am following Deborah's directions even better than whoever's in the mat next to me, because they're good, but I'm just going to be the best at this. But the fallacy, and I'm reminded, well, you live in Chicago, the great Chicago Bulls, the basketball, right? Right? And what did they do? They did Tai Chi and meditation
exactly.
So letting go created the space for ease of movement,
right.
Meaning, and then you happen to have an amazing a group of talented people. I mean, look, let's face it. If you're not really a dancer, I mean, everybody can dance and move, but everybody is not going to be a professional dancer. But
true.
But if you have that desire and you have that skill and that ability, letting go will make you even better, like a singer. Everybody can sing, even if you don't think you can. But And not everybody's going to be a professional, and you can have joy and wonderful experience. However, and for all of that, the more you let go and allow.
Exactly.
Right.
Exactly. And that's, you know what, I think it's a lifelong learning.
Yeah.
It's a lifelong learning of coming up against that pushing and then letting go and discovering that when you let go and you let yourself be at ease, those moments when you want to be really energetic become so much, the organization of it is so much better. It's like, you know what, I'm just going to, because this is reminding me something I'd like people to know about Feldenkrais is, because for some people this may be sounding like, oh, Feldenkrais is so mamby-pamby. However,
it's research.
Feldenkrais was the first black belt karate teacher in Western Europe. He was a martial artist as well before he developed the Feldenkrais thing, the method. And so his understanding, the underneath the really good martial arts is an amazingly beautiful organization of your body, right? Feldenkrais's definition, I love this myself, his definition of a good posture, and this comes from his martial art background, it says nothing about where the head should be, where the shoulders should be, where your belly should be. His definition is that the being is in such a place that they can move in any direction at any moment without prior preparation. So the being is in such an organization in their body that they can move in any direction at any moment without prior preparation. So that is that place of such balance and centered and ease. Right, isn't it? Doesn't it just get you? It's like,
I am speechless. You know? I'm speechless. And there are two things that happened. That is so brilliant. I want you to say it again. But one, first is when you said sitting up straight, I noticed everybody in this room sat up straight. Well, like this, what we perceive. Yes.
Right.
Yes. It's to sit up. secondly, so that was like, okay.
Yeah.
When you said this, and I do want you to say it again, and then I'm going to tell everyone who you are, and then we have to do an experiment. We have
do
to
do a lesson. Okay. We'll do a lesson. Yeah.
Here's
the
thing. I got chills. And the reason is because of that sense of doing without being gentle, without being kind, without all of that, just adds levels of inhibiting
movement, inhibiting exactly what it is that you want. Right.
Yeah. So say it again, say one time what it is.
So Feldenkrais's definition of a good posture is that the being is in such an organization in their body that they can move in any direction at any moment without prior preparation. And if you really think about that, like you just, it's hard to describe, but there is that to be able to move anywhere, anything you want at any moment without like getting it all together is really a place of expansive, open availability, absence of tension, but your brain also is lit up in a beautiful way, letting your body be at ease so that you can choose what you want to do when you want to do it in ways that you want to do it. Because the tension and the way that we, you know, like I sat up too when I said posture, right? In PT school, literally, we learned good posture is your head is here, you know, your head is right over your shoulders are back, your belly is in, your da 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 da. And when you start to assume that, there is so much tension to that, that's not really where my body wants to rest. And after, if it's a good experience in a Feldenkrais lesson, when you stand up from a lesson, there is that sense of like, whoa, my shoulders are so just kind of hanging there off my, you know, off my ribs, and my head is balanced. And it's not about, you know, is it forward or back? It's just is where you can move in that way that, you know, was described in the posture. So
the level of sensation, the level of sensation is
sensation,
it, but with awareness.
With and awareness.
If you have just tuned in, I'm Rhonda Fineman. You're tuned to the Healthy Options program right here on WERU Community Radio. We're speaking with physical therapist, Feldenkrais practitioner, dancer, Deborah Dorr, about the benefits of the Feldenkrais method. And I think it's time. We need to
a
short lesson of what this, right. What are we talking about?
Right. Yeah. What is this thing? You know, and I always, you know, when I'm teaching at the rehab and they want some explanation about it, they want to, you know, understand. I said, you know, I don't want to tell you very much about it. Just do it. Just experience it. See if it speaks to you, you know, see if it speaks to you. Okay. So I'll do a lesson now. Okay.
Please.
So, okay. If you will sit, I'm assuming people are sitting. Could you sit in a comfortable chair? Okay.
Now, that hold has on. If you're, fair, if you're driving.
Oh, if you're driving, don't do this.
I know it seems obvious, but we must tell people. Yes.
No, thank you. Thank you. Okay, not do this while you are driving.
Listen, okay? It's all recorded. Yeah. You can listen later. Okay. Go.
Exactly. Okay. So sit in a chair that has, you know, somewhat of a firm seat to it, right? And it's good if it also has a back to it so that you can, you know, just kind of let your back rest against the chair, or sit in a way that at this moment in time feels the most comfortable to you. Okay, so just take a second, and I will suggest that you have both of your feet on the ground, all right? And you're leaning up against the back of the chair, if that's comfortable. If you're more comfortable, you know, sitting up away from it, then, you know, you are finding your place of comfort. Let your hands rest wherever feels good to you. There's no special place, right? And just simply close your eyes. Take a moment, just close your eyes. And when you take the visual input out of your awareness there, or out of the mix, perhaps it gives you an opportunity to sense a little bit more deeply into your body. So I'll suggest that you really bring all of your attention to your body. Where is your back touching the back of the chair? Or where is your back right now? Just, you know, where is it? How is it touching? Is it touching? If you are up against the back of your chair, does one side of your back seem to have more sensation against the chair, the back of the chair, than the other? And could you take a look at your sits bones? Sense your butt, right? Sense your buttocks on the chair. And really, really kind of, you know, go deeply into like where am I and how am I touching the seat of the chair? Again, does one side feel like it has a little bit more weight or awareness into the chair seat? Where have you rested your arms, your hands? And now, could you simply bring your attention to your breathing? And notice, when I just said that, to notice your breath, did you start to breathe more deeply? That often happens. Almost always, it happens with me. But isn't it interesting? Just, you know, it's all interesting. There's nothing right, wrong, good, bad. It's just, let it be interesting, even kind of playful and humorous. When I, you know, when you're suggested to notice your breath, that perhaps you begin to breathe more deeply. Where do you breathe? Start to begin to notice what moves as you breathe, even if it's a teeny tiny bit. Does your belly move? Do your ribs move? As you breathe, does the contact of your back against the chair change in any way? I'm not saying that it should or it shouldn't. It's just, this is just suggestions of where you might kind of look in your body. When you breathe, do your shoulders move? What if you began to allow your breath to even take a little bit longer on the inhale and just a little bit longer on the exhale? So you're just gently allowing the breath to become a little more luxurious. Maybe even imagine that you're just a little baby and you're just kind of sitting in your chair and you're having fun noticing your breath. All right. And now, could you please bring your attention, let the breath continue any way you like. Bring your attention to your right shoulder. So just take your attention to your right shoulder. So first I want you just to feel where it is or how it feels that it is in space. Your eyes are closed, so you're not looking at it. You're sensing it. You're feeling it. You're becoming aware. Where is your right shoulder? Is it forward of your chest? Is it back of your chest? Is it a little up towards your ear, down away from your ear? Where is your right shoulder blade? How is it resting against your back? Is your right shoulder blade in contact with the chair, or does it pull away from the back of the chair? And then switch your attention now over to your left shoulder and the left shoulder blade. Where is your left shoulder? Is it different than what you experienced with the right shoulder? How far is there the distance between your left shoulder and your left earlobe? Is it different than the right? By the way, as you're kind of looking at that awareness of your left shoulder, just know that it is extremely common to find out that your left and right shoulders are not the same. There is probably something different about each one, each side. And so very gently, please, could you allow your left shoulder to gently float a tiny bit up towards your ear and then let it just rest down where it started? And I'm using the word float very, very specifically, small little floating of the left shoulder. If that is uncomfortable in any way, please just imagine it. You can do this entire lesson simply imagining. So the left shoulder is just you're imagining it or allowing it to float a tiny bit up towards your left ear and back down. Can you notice as you do that what happens to your breathing? All right. And then let your left shoulder just rest. Let it just come back to its original place. And now let your left shoulder draw down just a little bit. Just let it just kind of draw a little bit away from you. So it's the opposite direction. And please know this movement is a very small movement. Please don't try to take it as far as you can, you know, can drag your shoulder. Let it be less than you know you could do. Okay, let it be less. Just letting that left shoulder gently draw down a little bit. As you're doing that, notice the rest of your body as well. As your left shoulder draws down gently, is there any movement in your rib cage? Is there any natural movement that might be occurring in your head or the opposite shoulder or the hip even? All right, leave that alone. Just bring that shoulder back to wherever it feels like it's in its neutral place. And just observe that little bit that you did. Does it feel like anything has changed? And so before we go to the next shoulder, I'm going to ask you, and I actually should have done this before, come to the front of your chair a little bit. So you're away from the back of your chair. If that's comfortable, if that is not comfortable, stay with your back against the back of the chair. And so you're just sitting to the front of your chair, hands resting wherever it's comfortable, right? And now let's go to the right shoulder. And just let that right shoulder gently float a little bit up towards the ear and then back down. Only if it's comfortable. If it's not, please just imagine it. Let the shoulder float gently. Maybe an image of like your shoulder is filled with helium. So it just kind of naturally just kind of floats up. There's hardly, there's, you know, it's almost like there's no muscle activity at all. It's just floating up and down. What happens in your ribs as you do this? What happens as your shoulder floats up? Is there any infinitesimal change in your buttocks into the chair? Is there a shift of any kind of a weight, awareness of weight? Okay, let it go and rest. And now let your shoulder go down a little bit, gently down slightly, and then back to neutral. Tiny bit down. Notice as you do this, what happens in the rib cage? What if you kind of imagined or allowed, as your shoulder is going down, let the rib cage just gently shift a little to the left, giving the shoulder some space to move. Maybe there's a shift of weight into your buttocks. Okay, come back to neutral, pause, rest for a second. And now we're going to go back to the left shoulder, and you're going to let the left shoulder float up a little bit, and then through the middle and down. So just very gently, you're just gliding the shoulder up and letting it come down. And what if you allowed the right shoulder to gently go in the opposite direction. Think of like you're just this little seesaw with your shoulders. One shoulder's gliding up, the other one's falling down. They both come through the center. What if you let your head begin to kind of just maybe in a natural way begin to sway in whatever way that it wants to? Or maybe it doesn't want to move. Could you give, could you allow, as you're doing this little seesawing of the shoulders, could you allow your rib cage to feel like it is shifting towards the shoulder that is rising upward? You're just shifting, and you might notice as you do this, that as you do that, the pelvis is shifting its weight as well. You might be, if the shoulder is, the right shoulder is going up, you probably are putting a little bit more weight into the right side of the pelvis. And if I'm just going to invite you, just because this is a short little lesson, I'm going to invite you to feel how you can allow the movement of the shoulders to invite the whole body gently to sway and move, even if you're just imagining it. Okay, come back to center, sit back in your chair, let everything rest. Notice the positioning of your shoulders, your rib cage, how your buttocks are into the seat. And now just one last thing, let your left shoulder go a little up and down a few times. Does it feel any different, more connected to your body? Try the right shoulder a few times. How does it feel connected? Good. Let it go. Feel your breath. And for the sake of this recording, that's going to be the end of this lesson. Okay, usually they're about 50 minutes or so. Okay, thank you.
Whoa, that was fantastic. Okay. I'm definitely altered and definitely big changes. I cannot believe it. As we're going to have you come back, but
I would love it.
We are at the end of this edition of Healthy Options. Our guest today has been Deborah Darr, and I'm sure you're all totally altered as well as I am. She's the dancer, physical therapist, Feldenkrais instructor, NIA instructor. Thank you so much for speaking with us today. If we not want more information, we will get your website on our archives. The show and information, as I said, that was mentioned, will be posted to the Healthy Options Archive in the public affairs section at weru.org. Get the app and you can listen to this as a podcast. Thanks to Joel Mann and Amy Brown of WERU for engineering support, to Petra Hall for production assistance, and as always, thanks to all of our WERU listeners and supporters. I'm Rhonda Feynman, wishing you the best in health. And now, by the way, WERU is having our winter membership drive. Please support WERU Community Radio and all its programming, including, of course, our news and information and public affairs offerings. Please go to weru.org to donate directly, or you can send a check to WERU PO Box 170, East Orland, Maine 04431. Thank you for your support.